I mean, reach, what does it mean? I mean, you can buy reach these days. So, but you can see that if someone buys reach, because you can see it still on the engagement, you know. So if you have like 1 million views on your post, but no one commented on it, it's probably something you paid for.
Then the question is, yes, what does this lead to? Maybe just a little bit of dopamine for you, you know, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, you know, you're achieving something. But at the end of the day, you know, on the other side of the screen, there's nobody, you know. So the question is that really your goal? So we are looking for real people who are making connections with other real people, because social media is supposed to be social.
Yeah, maybe you start.
Okay.
Don't
worry.
I can learn from the
best. Really fine. So, hey, hi, hello. I'm Maria Brachmańska, and I am responsible for the content strategy at Luit. And probably you guys know me from social media, because I am the so-called face of the company, or as I like to explain it to people that don't know me, I am a full-time social media clown. So that's my title. On the side, I also have a little music marketing agency called Substandard, and I work with the local music industry, helping out artists build up themselves on social media based on the knowledge that I have gathered over here at Luit. And privately, I also make music, of course.
Okay, this is very impressive. I mean,
all right, Valerie, I'm gonna blush.
All right, I'm going to try to
go ahead.
Keep on with that. No, I'm Valerie Flurlich, and I'm working with Luit for 10 years now. I'm taking care of our artist and media partnerships, and yeah, that's fun. So
now that's what I call professional.
both of you. Yeah, welcome to our podcast. In German, we are called Tonstudio für Frauen, and in English, that would be Recording Studio for Women. And I'm Anna, and I invited you both, the social media clown and the Luit girly, who yeah, works with collaborations for artists, because many of the musicians we work with, you know, they learn how to produce their music, and then the next step would be how to publish their music. We can help them with that, but the logical step would have to be to really present themselves and their music, and that's usually on social media. And there's a lot of anxiety there. There's a lot of, they just don't know where to start and how to start. And that's why I invited you both, and I thank you for your time and for being here.
Of course, the pleasure is all ours.
And yeah, I would like to ask first, why is it so important for artists to be visible on social media nowadays? And what are some best practices for artists, upcoming artists at that, on social media?
I think that the first thing that comes to mind is that social media is a completely groundbreaking form of promotion currently available on the market. Even a few years ago, it was not possible for just about anybody in the world to promote themselves completely freely globally. And now we have this kind of a tool at our fingertips. So it would be a sin, of course, not to use that opportunity. And of course, social media is something that has led to, you know, big advancements and big, you know, differences, or like I would say, maybe improvements, or one could argue some negative things in the music industry. However, I think that it would be a little bit delusional to believe that, you know, it's possible to currently build up a career without being present on social media whatsoever. So I think that it's just become a necessity. And I believe that majority of artists that I work with, that I talk to, for them, it's kind of, you know, obvious that social media is the place to be, is the place to present your music, where you have access, as I said, completely for free to a global audience. And the only thing that probably you have to invest realistically is your time, which of course time is money. But yeah, that's what I would say. And in terms of best practice as well, we would need probably 10 hours of time to discuss all of that. I think that in general, I believe thinking about the content strategy is already a massive step up. So I have to admit that, like, from what I'm observing, a lot of people just make social media content in order to make just anything and to, you know, just cross it off of the list of things that you're supposed to do in order to grow as an artist. But I think that this is definitely the wrong approach to it. So, like, the first step to, you know, starting even seeing these best practices is to start thinking about what your strategy is and how does social media actually fit in within that. What are the people that you are trying to reach? What kind of music are you making? Who does it appeal to, you know? And what can this medium even offer me as an artist? What is the entire, you know, journey that a fan will have to make from, you know, seeing me for the first time completely as a random person on their feed on social media up to, you know, the front of my concert, you know? So I have to have a clear vision of this path. And I would say then, you know, best practices oftentimes come from practice, because best practices, you know, I think that this says a lot on its own. Valerie, what do you have something to add about this? You also observe quite a lot of artists on social media, right? And that's, I think, also part of your job to assess whether or not they're doing well, if their social media strategy is proper and is leading to results, because for a company, of course, the results are also quite important.
I mean, one thing that is very important that we analyze first is, of course, the quality of the content. So I would say this is one of the most important aspects. And after that, just we look at, reach, what does it mean? I mean, you can buy reach these days. So, but you can see that if someone buys reach, because you can see it still on the engagement, you know. So if you have like 1 million views on your post, but no one commented on it, it's probably something you paid for. So, and ever since this is, you know, this is now something that people know, ever since this moment, the engagement rate became more important.
Yeah, and for a good reason, I think, right? Because also, I mean, as a marketer, I've seen, you know, or I've heard, I would say, stories from, you know, my artists that they work with, where, you know, they will claim that, oh, you know, you can buy reach, you can buy yourself likes. But then the question is, yes, what does this lead to? Maybe just a little bit of dopamine for you, you know, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, you know, you're achieving something. But at the end of the day, you know, on the other side of the screen, there's nobody, you know. So the question is that really your goal? So we are looking for real people who are making connections with other real people, because social media is supposed to be social. So for us, it is very important. That's what it is.
That's a good theme here, because actually what one of our main strategy when we work with artists are on Instagram collab posts, you know that, of
absolutely,
course, because
yes,
you accept them very often.
Sometimes I forget, but then you do it. You just text me, I just did it.
Yeah, so so this is also a great strategy to grow, you know, not only for a brand, you know, because the posts are shown on both accounts, right? But it's also great, I mean, for artists, you know, if you collab with other artists, with other people, I think that's a good strategy to grow your account.
Of course. I mean, even if you just have somebody, if you just had somebody make your cover art, you know, this is already great grounds for some sort of a creative collaboration that both sides profit from. So I think also definitely very valid strategy, just being social and, you know, connecting with other people over art. I think this is just the general theme everywhere. You know, it's the same with being social in the comments. You know, we always reply to our comments. We actually have one employee who does that very, very well over there in America, who, you know, is almost like specialized in continuing discussions in our comments. And it's really beautiful, you know, because I think that this also definitely builds this brand affinity, no matter whether you're, you know, selling microphones or if you're an artist, you know. I know some people from our DMs from back in the day when I was the one replying to comments, where, you know, somebody learned compression from us because they just asked in our DMs. And, you know, now these people are fans of the brand because they got a response and they got a friendly one, you know, and somebody that actually cared on the other side. And it's very, very similar for artists at the beginning stage. You know, if somebody comments, if somebody takes time to reach out to you, you don't have to see them as, you know, fans per se in the this old meaning of the word where, you know, you're supposed to be a little bit mythical and, you know, and mysterious. No, we are all humans. And I think it's so much fun to like get direct, you know, connection with an artist that you like, or, you know, just a social media clown from Lewitt, whatever it is. That is definitely a very good practice.
Mm-hmm. So most of our musicians, they know social media as a user, but they don't know it as a creator. And so they're just starting out with their music and they're a bit shy, which I find is more even and prevalent in women. So they're pretty insecure and they don't know what strategy to use. They like to kind of even hide themselves. What, like maybe out of experience from yourself or the artists you work with, what do you suggest? Like what, because I remember like it was very hard for me to even post a video for me because I was shy. So yeah, what can help like feel less vulnerable as a human, as you say, you know, to present yourself as a human, not hide too much and overcome that anxiety bit by bit?
That's a very good question. And I have to say completely honestly that I can only speak from the place of, you know, compassion towards people that I work with that struggle with this, because I have been blessed by the goddesses of audio and everything, actually, with quite a lot of confidence and just this type of a personality where I never really minded, you know, seeing myself, for example, which I think is already a big step. Because a lot of people, you know, I think that majority of people actually, you know, internally struggle with the way that they view themselves. So, you know, unless we do this this work of, you know, working on the way that we perceive our self-image, you know, it's very hard, of course, to present yourself on social media, because that is such a vulnerable place. And especially for women, something that I know from my own experience is, of course, we are being torn to shreds sometimes, you know, just for our existence. That's something that I think we all know from our daily life, that, you know, for a woman, you know, it's enough to, you know, to talk about a topic that is maybe generally perceived as a masculine topic, and suddenly, you know, my opinion is completely invalid right away, you know. And on top of that, you know, add in a list of some sort of things that I should, you know, tick off the list, like, I don't know, I should be thin, I should be, you know, blonde. I mean, I'm blonde now already, but you know what I mean? Big eyes and beautiful, you know, that's probably not something that I can always consistently offer. And that's the same for every single human being, because, you know, it is what it is. We are human beings and we are all different. And that's the beauty of it, that, like, you know, there is not one standard that we all have to adhere to. But anyways, speaking of how to overcome this anxiety, well, first of all, just realizing that, you know, the self-image is something that I have complete control over. I think this is something very valid. Getting comfortable in your body is definitely going to help, but I know that this is not always the case, that it's not always something that can even be done and is completely understandable. Then realizing, I think, that you know, this is also a craft that you have to learn in a way. This is a skill that probably is completely new to you, because for now, you've only been the consumer of social media, only been somebody that, like, you know, takes these things that are being presented and just absorbs them in a way. But it is a skill that you can learn in a way. And with the most anxious of my clients, sometimes we start with exercises which are just as easy as recording yourself doing things for 10 minutes a day for a month or so, until, you know, you kind of internalize the way that you look from different angles, the way that you sound, you know. And it's the same with, you know, hearing yourself speaking. You know, if it was my first time hearing myself speaking through a microphone, I would be probably insanely weirded out, because I still remember that I couldn't believe that this is my voice. I always imagined that I have a nice deep voice, and, you know, in fact, I sound very girly and sometimes maybe even scratchy. I mean, now it's something that I've heard so many times that it doesn't shock me. So I think it's the same with seeing your own face sometimes. So I think this anxiety is definitely something that you can work on, and something that you can, in a way, get used to. Even though, of course, obviously, I am completely aware that having the right character for it does help. But I think that it's something that shouldn't stop people, because I believe there are just so many fantastic artists that self-sabotage by, you know, not having enough gut, or like not feeling like, you know, working through some of these issues in order to put their music, their art in front of people's eyes. So I think a lot of mental work to go through. Valerie, I don't know if you have something to also maybe add.
Yes,
on top of this,
definitely.
Please go ahead.
So I must say, I'm the opposite of you, you know, because
I know.
I was struggling with this topic a lot, you know. So at the beginning, when I started at Luit, I was sometimes, you know, some people would ask me if I would be a guest in their video, and I did that, you know. I didn't know that I was, you know, having that problem. But, you know, then in front of the camera, I would freeze. You know, I would not be able to talk anymore. Then I realized, okay, I have a problem here. But, I mean, the worst thing is the comments, I must say. So I think this is even, I know people, you know, that are in that field, you know, they have a psychologist to work with that.
And I think that, like, everybody should have a psychologist, no matter whether or not you're on social media or not. This is definitely
something you should talk about. I mean, because for me, they were so hurting, you know. I was feeling so bad about that, because people were saying, oh, what is she doing there? It's more like she has more like a decorative role. I mean, it was not even really super me.
Yes, of course.
Know, but it was really hurting me. So I think, you know, what helped me is like really practicing and getting used to it, and
same
watching
thing.
Those videos, you know, and it's getting better, but it's a long way.
You're doing so well, Valerie. Come on. you've gone a really long way, and I'm so proud of you. It's because, listen, we are on camera right now, and you're doing so well.
Yeah.
So that's for sure. And I mean, the comments, of course, I think that there is not really even, you know, a tip that that can be given, you know, apart from, you know, it's also okay to fail. You know, that's maybe something that a lot of people cannot accept at first. And I think I am this type of a person that just dislikes the idea of failing publicly. That's something that, you know, always annoys me a little bit to think about. But the reality is that without failure, you're not going to learn. So I would actually encourage you guys to fail faster.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. And I think of it as levels. Like, the first hate comment is level. It's you know, once you can deal, everybody who's bigger, every artist you look up and you see, they had to go through that at some point.
Absolutely.
So it's just the next level. And talking about levels, you know, it's some are really just starting out, and they're wondering which platform would be good to start with. Out of experience, is there anything you would suggest doing as an artist, as a musician? Which platform is easier to grow your account?
I think the best platform that you can be on is the one that you enjoy being on. And this is, I think, my general tip that, you know, if there is a platform, social media platform that you spend the most time on, then most probably that's the one that you understand the best. So people who are on TikTok can tell that you do not scroll TikTok on a daily basis. That's for sure, because there is almost an entire culture created around this platform that like has its own linguistics to it even. Like, you know, there are certain words that are banned on TikTok that people came up with alternatives for that are becoming general slang, Gen Z slang, you know? And that's something that you cannot understand if you do not clock in and spend the hours on this platform. So if that's something that doesn't come naturally to you, even though try more than 15 minutes. That's one tip of mine, because the algorithm needs a little bit to get to know you and start you serving you the right content. But if this is something that's not for you, then most probably another platform is going to feel more natural to you and you're going to be more consistent about it, because I think the consistency is so much more important than the platform itself. From my general experience, I would say that currently the platforms which are the most lucrative, or I would say are the most rewarding to be on, would be both Instagram and TikTok. And in my opinion, they are on very similar level, because TikTok has more explosive growth in the sense that, you know, videos in between will be a little bit lower in terms of reach and engagement, and then suddenly you get a massive viral and then again nothing. Instagram is a little bit more consistent. Instagram, on the other hand, even though it doesn't maybe offer this kind of explosive growth, what it does offer though is many, many different touch points with your fans, like stories, posts, reels. All of them cover completely different, you know, moments of the day, or like mindsets that people are in, you know, reels being something that you can grab completely new audience with. Then, you know, posts for general announcements and, you know, maybe bigger things, and stories for building this personal connection where, you know, they feel like part of your story. Well, that's what it's called. This is something that's fantastic on Instagram. So I would say these two I see as the biggest hit with the artists that I've been working with, and that these are also the main platforms that we work with over here at Lewitt. But you know what? If you are into Twitter and that's where you feel right and that's where you feel like, you know, you're at home, then probably Twitter should be your main platform, which for me, it's not. That's something that I do not like and or enjoy.
I must say, I know a lot of people that are live, like artists that are live streaming there.
On Twitter specifically, what? Really? Okay.
No, not on Twitter. I mix it up with Twitch, sorry.
Twitch, yes. Yeah. On Twitch, yeah. Twitch is actually amazing. But I have to say that, like, me personally, I also do not spend much time on Twitch.
Twitter, it's now called X.
Twitter is called X. And it looks like
they're probably not watching this podcast. I'm pretty sure, like, three women talking about social media and music.
Yeah, maybe hate watching at best, but I don't think that we're that interesting. I mean, and we are also not very interested. I mean, Twitter, X.
So one thing I know about each of those platforms is that momentum is very important to grow.
Absolutely.
And at first, that can be a little bit overwhelming. Like, what types of content do I create? Out of your experience with other artists, what works well? What kind of ideas do you have? What have you seen? Like, any tips for someone starting out?
I mean, I think the first logical thing to say is the format matters. I already said that Instagram, for example, offers different formats, right? And something that I see as a big mistake is not understanding which format reaches whom, so to speak. So, of course, if I post a story, it's not going to contribute to my growth as an artist, because this is only ever reaching people who already follow me. So it's counterproductive to, you know, create a lot of stories, for example, while, you know, at the same time I should be shooting reels, right? Which reels, you know, when you go to your reels feed on Instagram, you will see mostly people that you're not following yet. So I think that first and foremost, just getting your content formats straight and understanding that there are certain content formats that serve certain purposes. And then, you know, having this purpose in mind, you can allow to shape your content, right? Because if I already know that, okay, reels, so these short videos, I have 60 seconds, probably 30 seconds would be best. And these are going to be played out to somebody that I do not know and that I want to get to know me, right? Or to, that I want to interest in some way. Then most probably, you know, what I need to do is take this into consideration and create a video that speaks to a random person in the street, right? For example, if I'm promoting a single, of course, then I might want to create a video that doesn't just say out now by XYZ, because nobody cares. Nobody knows who's XYZ yet, right? Because these are people who for whom you are completely new. Well, then maybe let's interest them. Hey, if you like this and that artist, or if you like Night Drives, then this is the perfect song for your playlist for that, you know? Or, you know, just thinking about it from the perspective of how can I provide value in some way to somebody that doesn't know me yet in these cases. And I think that this is how the best social media strategies actually come together. And this is something that we even do with our content here, translating it to maybe product a little bit more. But what we are what we've been trying, at least, you know, in the these past few years, more or less, to do is creating stuff that, you know, somebody who doesn't know what Luit is, that doesn't know what audio is about fully, can enjoy, because we're educating people, we're explaining different, you know, themes, different topics. We're talking about, you know, maybe how creative some people are in the studio and like what kind of creative techniques you can use yourself for making music. And that's how we are drawing this new audience to us. So this is not really yapping about me, ourselves the entire time. It's more so about, you know, you, because we are trying to, you know, interest people. And the best way to interest people is to speak to them directly and, you know, speak to their pains, speak to their emotions, speak to the things that matter to them and not necessarily about yourself, because they do not care about you yet. That's not that point. So I would say that in terms of conceptualizing content, this is probably the most important thing to understand. I will not necessarily tell you any specific, you know, formats, because these are different for every single artist. I think that this is different even based on songs, right? Like when you have a new song, then it's good to just have a sit down and think to yourself, okay, now I am this artist with this specific persona on stage, right? And this is my audience. They're this and that age, in this stage of their life, that's their interest. And this is a song about this and that. What kind of content can I make about this that connects all of them? And usually this will bring you quite a lot of ideas, especially if you're observant on social media and you're seeing what others are doing, then you're going to be able to come up with some very, very creative things for yourself, which is also exactly then what the audience is looking for, what people like us are looking for, because I think that's the next thing that we can even talk about, right? The collabs with companies, which, yeah, nice.
That's something that, like, as you started the conversation, you know, we said nowadays it's more easy to connect the artist with the listener. So right. We grow together more. And what we see in our musicians is that they don't even think of like this. It seems so out of reach to collaborate with brands like Luit. It seems so big, you know, and it doesn't seem like something they could reach soon. So just to open up their mind and to give ideas, like how would they even attract someone like a brand like Luit to work with them, to collaborate with them? How are they, you know, when they create their art, how can they be of interest?
I mean, if they have like super creative ideas, for example, you know, I mean, you know, this will attract people. So you, like I said, you know, we're working with quite some people that don't have like 100,000 followers. You know, we even work with people that have like, you know, 10,000, under 10,000, you know, it's numbers, but you know, their posts are performing great because the content is so good, you know? So, and I think, you know, everyone started small, and there were also people, you know, that started with their social media and they got motivated because, you know, we said, you know, at the moment it's, you know, we cannot do that at the moment, but, you know, keep on doing that great work and reach out and we can see, you know, where you are next year. And, you know, that's the thing. Those people, you know, they stayed, you know, they try to reach their goals, and you know, the moment they reach them, you know, then we also cooperated at a later point. So those stories happen, but you know, we get a lot of requests, and there's also very often, you know, this kind of requests that are probably written by ChatGPT, you know, where they're just, sometimes they forget even to exchange the company. So, or you know, like we get requests where people, you know, that have like 50 follower want, you know, an LCT 1040, which is our 3,500 euro microphone, you know. So like, this is then the application. Yeah, I would love to have your LCT 1040. You know, so this is also something Maria mentioned, you know, think about not you, but think about what you could offer.
Absolutely,
you know,
yes.
Which could be interesting, you know. Maybe you're trying, maybe you want to do you want to do like Maria just did with her song. They did this remix contest, you know. So maybe you're planning that remix contest, you know, you're planning to you have a plan, you know, and then you're asking, hey, you know, would you be open to contribute with a prize? And for that, I would do this and that, you know. And then we see, you know, people are really interested in working with us, and we are not just an option, you know. So this is something that definitely helps when you don't have like the huge numbers, you know, like staying interested, you know. I mean, if we see someone reaches out three times to us, you know, I mean, we are also just humans. So.
Mm-hmm. And I think to add on top of that, I think that you've hit the nail on its head, to be honest, with this part about, you know, understanding your business case, I think is also so important, because a lot of people, you know, will reach out and they will reach out just to reach out. Hey, can I get this, with this mindset of give me something? While, you know, in all honesty, this is true for not only brand collaborations, but also record deals, also publishing deals, anything else where you're collaborating with a company as an artist. And I look at these applications also from the artist side, you know, to correct them before they go out. These are not NGOs. These are not charitable organizations that just give away things to give them away. And they are, of course, looking to make some sort of a profit. And how this profit is made is, of course, through gaining visibility. So at the end of the day, with companies such as Lewitt or like any sort of audio brand deals or like brand deals per se, I think that you just have to be aware of this and also look at it from this brutally honest perspective. Hey, can I offer some sort of visibility? And if it's maybe not possible within the realm of just my social media, then maybe I can do a remix contest. Maybe I can do something extra that will provide enough extra value for this company to consider me. It's doable. It's all possible. You just have to maybe think of it with the right mindset of, I want to be a business partner. I don't want to be just, you know, somebody begging Caritas for help, you know, that's because that's how it feels sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We encourage our musicians or music producers to collaborate and to build a community and to not just sit at home alone and just feel alone, because at one point you will just stop, some fear will block you or something. So in a way, can we say that they should continue doing that even on social media, collaborate not just with brands but also with other artists, because that's interesting to brands like you, because you know, if they have a big community of other artists that they know and work with, that kind of helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
I think networking, I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is super important. Like, not only if you're like with everything in life, you know, I think it helps so much, you know, first at all, you can talk to people that have the same problems, you know, that struggling with the same things, and maybe they are already a little bit further already, so they can share their experiences, you know, that already feels good, you know, if you have like-minded people that go through the same things as you do. And I think also, you know, those network events, you know, maybe you meet producers, you know, maybe you meet other people, you know, bookers, you know, you can meet so many different people, you know, that might be able, you know, if you tell them what you're looking for, you know, and if they know that, you know, maybe if there is a chance or a gig, you know, they will call you, you know, and ask you, hey, you know, you told me you would love to play at this bar, you know, they are looking for someone right now. I was thinking about you, you know. So I think, you know, communicating your dreams and your goals to your network is something that can really open doors.
So true. Absolutely. And I think that it's also generally so good to have friends. You know, that's another thing. You know, life gets very lonely, even just from this perspective. Artists are very emotional creatures. And I think to feel completely alone and in these things can feel very overwhelming, especially if you do not have a support network behind you. So, I mean, this chosen family of your network, of your friends, of other creatives is so important to have, even just from the psychological side, right? I think that, like, it's so good to have one another to lean on, you know, and to do creative things together. Everybody would love to work with the big artists from the get-go. But the truth is, if you were to talk to these people on the Grammy stages, they worked with one another when they were, you know, this small. And that's kind of how it's supposed to work out, you know. I think that it's best to hop on board early with your friends, because they also hop on board early with you and build together, because that just magnifies everything that you guys do. So I think I'm a huge believer in community. And I think that community is like what can truly make or break longevity in this game.
Mm-hmm. So in conclusion, when we talk about musicians who want to best use social media, we can say they should not look at social media as like, oh yeah, I have to be that big mysterious artist and fans would just come by and like me, but instead think of it as, hey, I'm using it to share myself, my music, my dreams. Engage with other artists. We might even collaborate, you know, all that, like to grow not just a fan base, to grow a whole community of people you just like. I like to communicate with musicians and other artists and producers. Yeah.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And I think
hold on. Sorry, I'm sorry. And included in that is not just the fans and the artists, that the fans will follow and the brands will follow too. Could we say that?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But one thing, this all sounds so beautiful, but I think, I mean, one thing that is important to also mention, you know, there's also people that will tell you, you know, they can do a lot for you, but then at the end, nothing happens. So you also have to learn how to deal with that, you know. I mean, that's also a big part, because, you know, like Maria already said earlier, you know, you also will fail with things, you know, and not everyone who says is going to support you will support you at the end. So you will also experience disappointments. But I mean, that's life, and that's what makes us grow
also
in the future.
Actions just speak louder than what is being said. You know, it's actually the same with, I think it's a pattern almost with so many artists where, you know, you would expect your friends from your personal life to support you. And oftentimes these are not your first fans. Your first fans are people that do not know you, that just somehow got to know you through your music. And this is also true on social media. I think like also it's completely valid, you know, to block off some people if that's what it takes for you to present yourself on social media. Yes, of course, block all of your friends from high school if that's what's making you feel insecure. Absolutely, do that. And I think this social aspect of it is like, I cannot highlight this more, because In all honesty, I think that the biggest advantage that we now have with social media is that we can really directly connect with our fans, with people that are listening to music. And, you know, we can really supercharge this this customer journey, you know, as one would call it in professional marketing, into something that is very interactive and like very quickly becomes, you know, quite profitable even for artists, you know, because of course, at some point we have to look at the return that we're getting from these activities, especially with artists who want to become a professional artist. And I think this community building is just a very, very necessary skill for this. So yeah, definitely using all of these tools, you know, I'm not only speaking about social media. Why not start your own Discord channel? Why not start your own group on WhatsApp? Why not start a Patreon when it makes sense, to actually build these communities and offer community to people? That's yet another thing, that it's not just building, you know, this following. It's building a space for these people to exist in, because that's what draws people in, right? When you think about the biggest artists currently, I think Taylor Swift is on the mouths of everybody, right? Everybody talks about her. Why is this fandom so attractive to people? Well, because this is a community that you can join that is thriving. And it's not only about her. It's also about the experience of being a part of something bigger. And that's what people yearn for, after all. That's what music is for. Music is supposed to be experienced in groups together with other people. It's celebration. So, I mean, trying to build communities that celebrate music is, I think, what we should all be doing. And then everything else follows. Because, like, if we see artists who can build a beautiful community around themselves, then we do not need any sort of other further proof that they are worth working with. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. As a last question, can you give us some example or some insight into the collaborations you have? Like, you can do it anonymously, but like, give us some ideas, some examples of maybe even growing together with an artist, like, you know, seeing them grow. How can that work? Like, I really want to feel into that.
I mean, what I have to say, Luit started very early with something that is in professional marketing called influencer marketing. I mean, in our music niche, you know, it's like musicians that started very early on doing, for example, you know, product reviews. So when I started at Luit 2015, you know, I did know nothing about microphones. So what did I do? You know, I tried to learn. So there was Gearslots. I mean, it's now called Gearspace, which is already a little bit nicer, but the place is not nice. This was not a place where I would get my information from. You know, it was super dry. It was not a positive, you know, friendly environment, you know. So
that's a feature sometimes.
So I was a little bit desperate, you know. I mean, even though I'm in marketing, I wanted to understand, so I can be able to speak with engineers, you know, on somewhat on the same eye level, I mean, or at least feeling confident talking to those people. So I started looking into YouTube, you know, and tried to find channels that are explaining, you know, how to use those microphones. And, you know, not a lot of people were doing that at that time. And there were like channels, like, you know, like the first channels in this genre, Produce Like a Pro, Spectrum Media. So I started reaching out to those channels, and they were like, you know, they were not really big at that time, you know, in 2015. I think they also just started probably 2 years earlier, you know. But, you know, if you look at those channels nowadays, I think they have, you know, probably 800,000 followers, you know. So that's the thing. So we always try, you know, because when someone is big, you know, everyone wants to work with you, you know. So that's the thing, you know, we always try to discover the talent, you know, when not everyone has it on the radar. That's also something we then did on TikTok again, you know, like nobody, you know, everyone was afraid of TikTok, you know, I had the feeling, and we were looking into that and we were thinking, okay, the golf players are there, you know, so it's not just a dancing platform anymore. And that's when we started, you know, to reach out to artists there, and nobody reached out to them at that time. You know, and I don't know, those channels grew like crazy, you know, like there was also this tech talker, I think he has these days, he has 7 million people or something following him, you know, so it's crazy. So I think, you know, I think that's a lot of people doing that, you know, start early working with artists, you know, so before they are, you know, before they reach their million followers. So I think, you know, with this whole YouTube game, also on TikTok, with all the creators we are working there, I think it's a good example. And they definitely, you know, some grow slower, some grow faster, but, you know, if you put some effort in that, you will definitely grow. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your sharing your experiences and your knowledge. And for those who don't watch us on YouTube but listen to us on a podcast, all three of us use Lewitt microphones.
And that's what you're hearing, yes. Very good quality, as you can tell.
And as a review, it makes my mixes so much more easy. Like, it's just when, like, the loudness of this mic is just very, very easy to edit and mix. Yeah.
Amazing. That's great to hear. That's what they're designed for, you know. We always say that Lewitt microphones, if we were to summarize what they sound like, they're just record ready. You know, put it within the context of a mix and it probably already sounds ready. So a little work, very good results.
But that's one thing that's very important for us, you know, also on social media, for example, Maria is actually educating, you know, giving tips, you know, how to record, stuff like that. Also with our microphones themselves, you know, we want to enable people, empower people to
make them heard.
Yeah, to record with amazing sound, you know. And, you know, like if you look 20 years ago, this was not possible. Today we are talking in a microphone that actually has something we call auto focus for your voice, so when you get closer or if you get further away, the sound stays consistent, you know, which is like pure innovation.
The loudness, yeah, and that's very important for me because I move a lot. You again, if you're just listening to this, I just moved my head a lot, as I usually do. Same as with the interface. I can use it very intuitively. And one thing I really love is that the button is always on the 48 volt. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something. If you forget that, that's not good either. Makes it just a little bit easier. Yeah,
with auto setup also, it's become super easy to use these things because for us, you know, with interfaces, we've always heard that, like, for many artists, you know, as much as a microphone is something that maybe they even interacted with already at some studio, they maybe are a little bit familiar. An interface was always this kind of mystical, mythical creature, you know, that nobody knew how to necessarily use, or it's maybe let's not say that nobody knew it, but like it's just simply not that intuitive. Let's be so for real about it. And this entire auto setup function that we have going on in all of our interface products basically is designed for this type of a musician who just wants to, you know, record without hassle. And that's exactly what it does. You know, you have to just pick a few settings which are explained in great depth. You don't have to understand much about music production in order to do that correctly. Then it simply measures the loudness, measures the levels, adapts the gain settings, and boom, pow, there we have it, perfect settings. Again, record ready, as I already mentioned.
Yeah. And these are some of the most painful things for many women who come to us, who want to record their music. They have maybe tried before and it's just too complicated for them. And they just gave up. It was just frustrating. And that's usually something we teach. But I just love when this is easy because then you can concentrate on the music. That's what we all
Absolutely.
Want.
Absolutely. If there's one thing that I can say from my own experience, and I've worked here at Luit for what, 5 years now? No, four. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've been here for a while and I've worked with music before, of course, as well. One thing to all the women out there, men know just as little as you do. They're just so confident in doing it that they will do it wrong and still be confident about it. Even, you know, claim that they're better than you sometimes when they do a worse job. It's just the matter of, you know, maybe the way that they think. So sometimes, you know, also me, myself, I think that like I've been blessed by the gods by having a bit more masculine demeanor, and this is already helping. So be blindly confident sometimes because, you know, you're going to learn as you go. So fail faster, what I said.
Fail faster, be blindly confident, and get out there and connect with people, real people, real fans, and real brands.
That's what you should prioritize. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I love this talk.
Thanks.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Das war mein Interview mit Maria und Valerie von Luit Audio. Und ich hoffe, dass ich genauso wie mir selber deinen Horizont heute erweitern konnte. Unsere Arbeit hier im Tonstudio für Frauen zielt darauf ab, Musikerinnen wie dich zu ermutigen, endlich ihre Songs mit der Welt zu teilen. Vielleicht konnten wir mit diesem Interview deinen Horizont erweitern, sodass du für dich Möglichkeiten siehst, Chancen siehst und mal ein bisschen über den Tellerrand herausschaust, denn deine Musik ist wertvoll, deine Stimme ist wertvoll. Nicht nur für diejenigen, die deine Musik hören werden, sondern eben auch für Brands, wie zum Beispiel Luit, eine Firma, die sich auf Record-Ready, Mikrofone, Audio-Interfaces und seit neuestem auch auf Plugins spezialisiert hat. Und wenn du bisher deine Songs nur für die Schublade produziert hast, weil du eben genau an der Stelle standest, dass du nicht wusstest, ja, was soll ich denn damit machen? Es fängt schon mal damit an, dass ich gar nicht weiß, wie ich das produzieren kann, dann weiß ich nicht, wie ich es veröffentlichen kann und dann weiß ich schon dreimal nicht, wie ich damit Geld verdienen kann. Dann mach jetzt den ersten Schritt. Wir haben einen kostenloses Videotraining für dich, wo wir mit dir die drei Geheimzutaten teilen, die du wirklich brauchst, um deine Songs aus der Schublade rauszuholen und professionell bei dir zu Hause fertig zu produzieren. Ja, du selber. Du selber kannst deine eigene Musikproduzentin werden. Den Link zu diesem kostenlosen Videotraining findest du unten in den Shownotes. Und wenn du noch gar kein Equipment hast, dann schau auf jeden Fall auch bei Luit Audio vorbei, denn die sind spezialisiert auf Record-Ready Equipment. Da findest du nicht nur Mikrofone wie das, was ich jetzt hier gerade benutze, sondern Audio-Interfaces und mittlerweile sogar auch Plugins. Ich danke dir wie immer fürs Zuhören und wenn du magst, hörst du uns nächste Woche wieder hier bei Songs aufnehmen leicht gemacht vom Tonstudio für Frauen. Bis dahin, dein größter Fan, Anna.